Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mamas. On this Mother's Day, I want you to check out this statistic. This really blew my mind. By the time her child reaches the age of 18, a mother's had to handle an extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. 18,000 hours of child-generated work. In fact, women who have never had children enjoy the equivalent of an extra 3 months a year of free time. Think about that. Being a mom is hard work. I don't know that from experience, but I thank God for all the mamas. So somebody thank God for your mama. Amen. And by the way, kids make life interesting, don't they? One day a mother walked into the kitchen and her daughter was sitting at the table scribbling. And she said, "Baby, what are you drawing?" She said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." Her mother said, "Sweetheart, nobody knows what God looks like." She said, "Well, they will in a minute." It's never a dull moment with kids in the picture. Well, today on Mother's Day, I'm going to be tag team preaching with my baby mama. My wife, Amber, she's going to be helping me preach today as we continue our series on faith. How many of you do just wave at me? How many of you believe faith is important? Okay, faith is not optional. Faith is absolutely essential. Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. How many of you hoping for some stuff right now? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith gives us access into the spiritual realm. Not only that, but faith gives us power to overcome the enemy. Word of God says in 1 John 5:4, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." So tell somebody or type it in the comments, have faith in God. Come on, give it a bunch of exclamation points. Amen. Have faith in God. Last week we talked about Moses, but today we're going to learn about Moses' mama. She is a woman of great importance with a very, very famous son, but many people don't know her name. It's found in Numbers 26:59. The name of Amram's, how's that? You like that? Amram. That's a cool baby name. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt, and to Amram she bore Aaron and Moses and their sister Miriam. Her name was Jochebed, the mother of Moses. Now, Jochebed in the original Hebrew is pronounced Jochebed. So let's just for fun, let's say that out loud. Come on, say it with me. Jochebed. Come on, say it again. Jochebed. Ah, Yahibu is very good. All right. Jochebed, but we say Jochebed. Aren't you glad? That's a little bit easier. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "A man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, Jochebed. She became pregnant, gave birth to a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch, and she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds of the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank." So Jochebed puts baby Moses in this basket, puts it in the Nile River, and his sister Miriam follows the basket to see where it goes, and it ends up at Pharaoh's palace. And Pharaoh's daughter is bathing in the river. She finds the basket, takes it out of the river, and Miriam approaches Pharaoh's daughter and says, "Shall I find a Hebrew servant to nurse the child for you?" And she says, "Yes, please do." So she goes and gets Jochebed, the baby's real mother, and she nurses him and raises him. And the Bible says in verse 10, when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Now, at the time Moses was born, the Israelites were under intense persecution by the Egyptians. Not only were they enslaved by the Egyptians, but Pharaoh ordered that every boy born to a Hebrew family was to be thrown into the Nile River. Notice the tactic of the enemy. He came after the next generation. Pharaoh did it in the Old Testament. Herod did it in the New Testament. And the enemy is still doing it today because the devil hates the potential of young people. The enemy won't sit and wait for you to become what God wants you to become. He will attack you right now before you reach your potential. Sometimes the enemy will attack you, and it has nothing to do with where you are right now. It has everything to do with where you're going. If the devil was after you this morning, maybe it's not because you're at church today. Maybe it's because of who you're going to bring with you next Sunday. Maybe if the enemy's attacking your finances, maybe it's not because you're tithing right now. Maybe it's because he knows you're going to keep tithing. Hello. Pharaoh was trying to destroy the next generation of Israel before they reached their potential. Needless to say, this point in history was the worst time possible for Jochebed to be pregnant. Just because it's inconvenient doesn't mean that it's not part of God's plan. Maybe you were born at an inconvenient time. Maybe you weren't born in the best of circumstances. Maybe people have told you that you are an accident or mistake. Listen, people make mistakes, but God does not. And my Bible says in Psalm 139:13 that God knit you together in your mother's womb. There is no such thing as an illegitimate baby. You are not an accident, and your life is not a mistake. Jochebed was pregnant at an inconvenient time. When she got pregnant and had a baby boy, the baby boys were not even allowed. In man's eyes, this moment in history was the worst time to be born, but in God's eyes, this moment in history was the right time to be born. You see, God's greatest gifts are often birthed out of the worst seasons of life. And I've found that God sometimes does his best work in the worst of times. I believe that's a word for somebody right now in the season we're in. So today we're going to look at lessons that we can learn from Jochebed, the mother of Moses. Looking at Exodus chapter 2, the Bible says that she saw he was a fine child. That's the first thing we learned from her. Number one, she saw her child. It's important for parents to see their children. There's a difference between looking and seeing. It's important for parents to recognize that their children have potential and that they have great value. Moses' mother looked at him and she saw that he was valuable. Do you know that Jochebed is listed in Hebrews chapter 11? We call it the Hall of Fame of Faith. She's listed among the great men and women of the Bible. Hebrews 11:23 says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's command. You see, Hebrews gives credit to both parents, but Exodus, back in the original source, says it was specifically his mother, Jochebed. I thank God for mothers who recognize that their children are valuable. Parents, your children will get their identity from you. It's your job, your God-given responsibility to see their potential and to tell them about it. It was Moses' mother, first and foremost, who saw him for who he was and saw his value, and she raised him accordingly. You see, when a mother sees the value of her child, nobody can convince her otherwise. She defied the highest authority in the land because she recognized the value of her child. Moses was not the first person to defy Pharaoh. It was his mama. Don't mess with mama. Amen. So moms, it's important to recognize the value of your children. Teach them their value. Declare their worth to them. I think about, of all the people in the Bible, nobody had a ministry like Jesus. Would you agree with that? Jesus came onto the scene and changed the world. Thousands were healed. Demons were cast out and the dead were raised. But who got Jesus started in ministry? We find the answer in John chapter 2, in John 2, 1. It says, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mama was there. Jesus and his disciples had been invited to the wedding, and when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Jesus said, woman, why do you involve me? By the way, don't talk to your mom like that on Mother's Day, all right? Jesus did it, but we can't. Jesus replied, my hour is not yet come, but his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Here Jesus is, 30 years old. Mary never stopped seeing Jesus for who he was. She remembered that night when the angel appeared to her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you and the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. She never stopped seeing Jesus for who he really was. Never underestimate the power of a mother who sees her child. Number one, Jochebed saw her child.
Number two, she sheltered her child. In Exodus 2:2, it says, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. She sheltered her child from the world around her. As a mother, whether you have given birth to the child physically or you have adopted a child, someone carried the child in their womb. And in the beginning, whenever the child was formed, our bodies were used as a shelter, as a place of protection where the child is being formed and knitted. In the beginning, God said the mother is to help protect the child. So from the beginning, from when your child was created, you were called to protect your child and to shelter them. That doesn't stop once they're born. It begins even more because you go from being able to shelter them and protect them from the world because your body is is standing in the gap to now you've got to shelter them from the world without your body's protection. So as a mom, we are to shelter our children from the world. What does that look like? That means that when they're young, you can't be their friend. You're not called to be their friend. You're called to be their mom. You're called to be their parent. That means that you have to set guidelines and rules and boundaries for your children. Raise them in the way that God says raise them, not the way the world says it. That means that at certain ages, your children do not need a Snapchat. They don't need to be on Instagram. They don't need to be on Facebook where they're not protected. You can't protect your child on Facebook. We think we can, but there's people out there that are out to get our kids, which is the enemy. And he wants to take your kids and rob them of their innocence. But as a mom, as a parent, our job is to protect them and to shelter them from the world. So I challenge you, shelter your kids. Be that shelter that they run to whenever things go wrong. Be that protection that they come to and they say, Mama, things are going wrong. I need for you to help protect me. Even whenever things go wrong in my life, I run to my mom and say, Mom, what can you do to help me? Help me. So it doesn't matter how little we are or how big we are, we are still running to our moms. So shelter your children.
That's good preaching right there. Amen. Number one, Jochebed saw her child. Number two, she sheltered her child. Number three, she secured her child. Exodus 2, verse 3, when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar, and she placed the child in it, put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. I know that the NIV calls it a papyrus basket, which is literally what it was, but in the original Hebrew, there's a special word used here. It's the word teva. Now, since we're speaking Hebrew today, come on, say that with me. Teva. Okay, teva means ark. In verse 3, we see that Moses' mother was a God-fearing woman. Pharaoh had passed judgment on the Hebrew children, and Jochebed knew exactly what God had done in times past when there was judgment coming upon the earth. He built an ark. He built a teva. So what she did is she prepared a teva for her child. Jochebed remembered what God had done before, and she knew that if he did it before, he'll do it again. And here's the lesson. A godly mother looks to the Word of God for direction. She took the basket. She prepared it. She secured her child inside of it. And unlike Noah's great big ark, this was a tiny basket. In other words, there was no room to move around inside of it. Moses' mother made sure that it was tight and that it was snug because she understood if he had any room to roll over, he could have drowned. In other words, there is safety in structure. Jesus said, "Small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life." It's important that your children have structure. It's important that they know how late they can be out and they can't be out. It's important to know what movies they can and they can't watch. Amen. Like my wife just said, they don't need another best friend. They need a mother. Right. Pharaoh took the male babies from the Israelites. They threw them into the Nile and fed them to the crocodiles. When Moses was thrown into the river, it was the same danger. It was the same crocodile. It was the same river, but it was the structure that his mother gave him that made all the difference. So, Mama, you might get tired of enforcing the rules. You may be tired of the constant battle of discipline. You might be sick of being the bad guy that ruins all the fun. But my word for you today is don't give up and don't let up, because those very rules might save your child's life one day. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not."
Number 4, she surrendered her child. This one's good, y'all. The whole message has been good, but this one right here spoke to me. It said, Jochebed put her child in God's hands. She didn't keep him for herself. She didn't keep Moses to herself. She said, "Here, God, I'm giving him to you." And that day on the banks of the Nile, she came to a very frightening place. It was no longer safe to shelter Moses in her home. Pharaoh's soldiers were behind her, and the Nile River was in front of her. She had done everything she could possibly do. And now it was time to let go of Moses and trust God with the rest. And once she surrendered Moses to God, she never lost faith. She never lost faith. Even when it looked like he was going the wrong way, she watched him grow up. She watched him as he became more and more like the Egyptians. He began to talk like an Egyptian. He began to act like an Egyptian. And he began to dress like an Egyptian. Here, Moses was being raised by the enemy. And even though it seemed that the enemy had won, Jochebed never lost hope. She didn't look at how Moses was living. She had faith that what she had planted in him for 3 months that he would return back to, even though he was talking and walking and looking like what the enemy, like the world. Let's just speak the world. And some of you have got kids that are grown or teenagers that they're looking like the world. And you're trying not to lose faith. because you're looking at circumstances. Stop looking at circumstances and surrender your child to God, even if they're in their 50s, 60s. Because guess what? Moses was 80 years old when he returned. God doesn't set an age limit. You cannot lose faith and look at how your child is living and say, oh, it's a lost cause. This is never going to happen. No, you keep the faith just like she did. She never lost sight of what she saw in him whenever he was born. Do not lose sight of what you see in your children. Even some days if it seems like there's no hope. God has a destiny and a purpose for every single person. He's got a destiny and a purpose for your child. Do not lose sight of what God has placed over their life. But instead, rise up and begin to call out those things that you've seen in their life. If you've seen pastoral ministry in their life, call it out. If you've seen wisdom beyond their years, doctor. If you've seen them free from addiction, call it out. Don't lose sight of what God's doing, because even when you don't see it, he's working. Do not lose sight. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't lose hope. Because Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Do not lose sight of that verse. If you've trained up your child in the way that they should go, don't lose hope. That's your hope. You know that they can't go far because God is going to be there with them and they're going to come back to God. It may not be on your time, but God's time is the best. And you have to trust him. A godly mother always gives God's glory, just like she did. Jochebed in Hebrew means God is her glory. And even in the end, she was giving God the glory for what Moses had done. Today, give God glory for what he has done in your life. He blessed you with the amazing opportunity to be a mother. That is an amazing opportunity. And do not lose sight of what God has given you the opportunity of. Even when things get hard, don't lose sight. God didn't say it would be easy to be a mama. It's one of the hardest jobs is to be a mama. But it's one of the most rewarding jobs. Because even as Hudson's growing up, I'm seeing what God is placing on his life and how he's given me the honor to raise him. That's what mamas get, is the honor to raise. And don't lose sight, just like she didn't. Lord, we just thank you for today. And God, I thank you for this wonderful Mother's Day. It's a beautiful day. And Lord, I just thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us. Lord, I thank you for every mother that is sitting in this parking lot or watching online. Lord, I pray right now that you just wrap your loving arms around them. Whenever they seem to be struggling, Lord, I pray that you just breathe strength into their body. Lord, give them wisdom and the right words to say. Give them wisdom in how to raise their children, whether they're young or older, Father, because we never stop needing our mothers. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for being with every person whose their mother's no longer here on earth today. And Lord, I thank you that you just give them a peace. Lord, that you just give them strength, Father. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for being with us. Lord, help us as mothers to raise our children in the way that you have seen fit. Lord, help us to raise prayer warriors. Help us to raise pastors and missionaries and doctors, Lord, and mechanics, people that are going to go into the military, Father. Lord, use us, Father, to breathe that destiny that you've placed over their life, Lord. Help us to speak life into them and not death. Lord, help us to be an encouragement to our children. And Lord, not to lose sight of what you've placed in their life. Lord, I thank you for the honor that you have given us to be moms. Lord, it is a privilege for us to be a mother. And Lord, I thank you for that. Let us not lose sight of what that gift is. Lord, I thank you for using us. Lord, and I praise you and I worship you. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You know, God sent Moses to save a nation. But he sent his only son, Jesus, to save the world. And today, if you find yourself lost, if you find yourself in a backslidden state, or if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, today is a great day to do it. Don't let another day go by. Don't drive out of this parking lot or turn your computer or TV off, because we're not promised tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. Today is the day for salvation. And if you find yourself sitting there going, I don't know, I'm not sure, I encourage you to pray this prayer after me. Ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, and I promise you, you'll never be the same. In John 3:16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a hope and a promise that you will have everlasting life in Jesus. So today, if you found yourself in any of those states that I said, I ask that you just pray this prayer with me and believe it in your heart. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in you. Save me and set me free. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And with your help, I will live for you the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, let's just celebrate. Let's give God glory for who's coming into the kingdom. Lord, we just thank you, Father, Lord, for every person that has turned their life around today, for every person that has entered into the kingdom. Lord, we just thank you, Father. Lord, we just praise you and we worship you for that. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just give you glory and honor. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you. Before we leave today and before you turn your TVs off and your online or on your phone, however it is you're watching us, I encourage you to fill out a red card. If you're not sitting physically in the parking lot, you can find it online, or you can fill it out in the parking lot and give it to one of our ushers as you're leaving. These are vital because it's our connecting point to you. Josh and I pray over these red cards every single week. Put your kid's name down. If you're believing for salvations, for family members, healing, put it down. We're praying over that every single week. And as God's bringing that into our spirit, so I encourage you, if you haven't been filling it out, fill it out. Don't forget to join us next Sunday right here, whether it be in the parking lot or online. We can't wait to see you. We're believing God for great big things in your life and in our church's life. So before we leave, I'm going to pray over us as we begin to get ready to go. Lord, we just thank you for today. And God, I thank you, Father, for every person that's sitting in the parking lot watching us online. Lord, you know of what their needs are, Father. And Lord, I pray right now that you are the way maker. Lord, that you turn things around, Father. And Lord, I thank you that if people are looking at impossible circumstances, or if they're hurting today, if they're bound by addiction, Father, if they've got a diagnosis that is terminal, Lord, or just a diagnosis that's not good, Lord, I pray right now, Father, that you are the healer. And Lord, I pray that you touch bodies in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you touch finances, Father. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that if people have become stagnant in this season, Father, where they're not in church, God, that you bring fresh life into them right now. Lord, that you resurrect those dry bones, Father. And Lord, that you breathe into them right now, Father, a holy fire, Father. Lord, a passion and a desire to serve you like they've never served you before. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that this parking lot is going to be completely full, Lord, that 70 is full of cars, that people are coming to you, Lord, like never before, that a fresh revival is taking place in our country, Father. Lord, that people look at what's going on and they say, God, I do not want to live this way because I see that we are in the end times and I'm going to get my life right. That people who have been sitting on the pews for years and have callings and destiny on their life, God, that they're flooding the church and they're using the gifts and the talents that you've given them to reach the nations, Father. Lord, I thank you for a great revival. Lord, I thank you for an outpouring of your Spirit, Father. God, let us not be the same. Let us not come out of the circumstances that we're facing the same. But God, do a mighty work. Whatever we're we're facing, whether it's financial, it's health. God, let us not see the work that you're doing in our life, and let us give you glory for what you're doing. And Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we give you glory and honor, Father. We thank you that you know the beginning from the end, Father, and nothing is new for you, Father. And Lord, we just praise you and worship you, and we give you glory.